This show is
Okay.
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
I have no balls, but I fart cookies. And welcome back to DSJMP WrestleCast, episode 41. And for the episode count number, we have to check with our expert, Katie. Is this episode 41?
Yes, it is.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is episode 41 of the DSJMP WrestleCast. And the second one without Devil Vamp. So this is going to be a very good episode, and you're not going to want to miss anything because we'll probably say some crazy-ass shit. If you want to get a hold of the show, go back to episode 40, get everything that Devil Vamp says at the beginning of that show, and remember it. We're probably still looking for emails for Stitcher, emails still that the network's doing, but you probably won't send it anyway, so we should act like Elsa and let it go. Just let it go.
Don't forget he's got this weird Canadian thing as well that he wants.
Didn't I say the network in Canada?
You
said
Stitcher.
No, Stitcher, the network, blah, blah, blah. It's his fucking thing.
Email
anyway,
it, damn it. Whoever, email.
Anyway, we have on the call this week, I'm gonna start, because I started with him first last time I hosted. Wayne is a baker, is here.
Yeah, sorry, I already butted in, but 41, we're getting old now, aren't we?
Everybody's butted in, so it doesn't matter.
That's fine, man. I don't feel so bad.
We have Katie, the First Lady.
Hello.
We have DRG.
I have returned to disprove. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get it in vamp terms. Deprove the fact that this panel can do math.
What's math?
Exactly.
One plus banana.
One plus banana equals deprove. I swear to God. Deprove, Vamp. Deprove.
And last but not least, we have Biohazard coming back once again.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
You sound really
How
enthused.
How you doing?
And wrestling hasn't been great that week, so.
You guys are breaking up a little bit.
Not breaking up. I think just everyone's miserable for some reason. Cheer up!
I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. Could be the balance of everybody's internet connection at once. Sometimes happens. Anyway, let's get into our show, and let's go to Keep Toss and Improve. And I know we always start with Katie, but I have to go with Wayne because if he has to say his one keep, so we can get it out of the way. Wayne,
wow!
Do not upset me. Get this right.
There's two keeps. I don't know which one you want. I'm gonna go Sting. Keep Sting because he's awesome.
Everybody, round of applause for Wayne for finally getting something
woo!
Right.
It's only taken me 40 odd episodes, but yes.
We're so proud of you. Hey, all right, Wayne. Honestly, how hard did you mark out?
I did announce on Twitter within seconds that I did ejaculate myself, so I think that's an indication of how excited I was. The fact that the sheer rumours were going around that morning, I was telling everyone that would listen, and their dog, that Sting possibly tonight! And they're like, don't ruin Survivor Series in case you don't turn out. I went, no, just the sheer fact that he's rumoured is enough for me. Is probably how much I marked out. The fact that I'm jumping up and down now, like 3 days later.
You guys should have heard Wayne at the beginning of Raw. In between of us talking about Sting and everything, how that episode began, he creamed his pants probably 5 times within the first half hour, 45 minutes.
just with the sheer recaps and then Daniel Bryan coming out, it was just, that was too much for me. That was just, that's pretty damn good. Wrestling's good at the moment.
For you.
Yeah, well, that don't matter what you want.
No, I'm glad. I'm honestly glad that he finally was able to present himself on that stage. It was a very cool moment. Very surreal. It was everything that it should have been. It was great. That was one of the major highlights from Survivor Series.
Yeah, that goes back to somebody made a picture. It's one of those moments where time stands still.
And I'm gonna talk about this while we have DRG on the line, because he is the biggest TNA fan, and it's a meme that I keep seeing. It's a picture of Sting, Hogan, Flair.
Yeah.
Who's the fourth one? Sting, Hogan, Flair, Foley.
Mick Foley.
Of them being in TNA and saying, oh, these guys are has been living off their glory day. And then now them being in WWE, this is the greatest moment ever. I'm going to ask you, DRG, is this what you believe?
I think that it depends on the person that you're talking about, because in TNA, Ric Flair and TNA, or in WWE, Ric Flair are both kind of the same. So there's not too much of a difference, but Sting being in WWE is a big deal. It wasn't him being a washed up has-been going to, oh my God, he's a freaking legend. Yes, there are fans out there that treat it that way, but that's actually a major thing, because if you see those guys on the stage, they are legends of the industry that should be in the biggest place and platform to present them to the industry as a whole. So I don't necessarily agree with that meme, although I did laugh whenever it first came out.
Like, I keep seeing it, and to my whole thing as a fan is, there's the difference is Sting is the only one that's like guaranteed to be in a match. A lot of the Foley, I think, did Hogan wrestle in a match in TNA?
Yes, against
one,
Sting.
Like one or two. Yeah.
Okay.
Against Sting.
Even I know that.
Yeah. I'm just double checking, but like there were so many matches between all of them. But in WWE, Hogan, odds are not going to wrestle again. Flair,
right?
I'd put millions of dollars that he is not going to wrestle again. The WWE will not let him. Foley seems to be done, and Sting's going to get one match. And I think that's the difference. WWE is not going to use these guys on a weekly basis either. So that's the biggest difference. And it's the people that post this are the mind-washed TNA fanboys, as I hate calling them, but it's really what they are.
Well, it's not just that heavy, is it? It's also the fact that in TNA, they're all getting leading roles, leading storylines. WWE, they're more appearances and spots. There's a difference between your week-in, week-out on-screen personas and your occasional appearances. So,
I mean, granted, I think... I think Sting's going to get a WrestleMania role. That's the biggest thing that's going to come out of it. His appearances sound like they're going to be limited.
He's going to be an attraction. And the biggest reason why that meme is accurate is because all the fans that are sitting there that buy into this hype is whenever they were wrestling in TNA, it's, oh my God, they're washed up, they're beyond old, they just need to retire. But the moment that they go to WWE, what does the people start clamoring for? Oh, could you imagine one more match with Sting? Or, oh, could you imagine one more match with Hulk Hogan taking on John Cena? Or could you imagine one more match with Mick Foley going up against, like, a Bray Wyatt, you know? Or who was it? Dean Ambrose, you know? That's the thing. That's why it becomes a controversial issue, is because those people on the internet that start sitting there and seeing this person, this legend, this icon has come back to the WWE or there for the first time, they start putting together these dream matches. But whenever they were in TNA, they weren't dream matches. They were washed up has-beens.
That's a really big brush that you're tarring everyone with, though, DeAndre. Because, like,
I'm not seeing everybody.
I was going to say, because I was a massive mark for TNA Sting, the Joker Sting, and I loved his GM, what everyone bitches about, the GM role he had, saying, oh, that was terrible. I actually loved him as the GM with the baseball bat that he was doing for about 6 months or however long it was, and I would be quite happy with him doing that role on Raw, but everyone, like, shitted on that idea. So
why? Why was that so bad? Because it was something that freshened him up and made him more of a a loose cannon element that he could go off and do anything. Now, they never did anything with it, but he always had that spark of, oh, shit, Sting's coming out. What's he going to do next?
At the end of the day, he was a manager. Not a manager, sorry. He was, well, a GM. That had charisma, and he could also have that potential where he could actually take bumps and give bumps out still without looking absolutely stupid, like when Hogan was there and he'd done very little bits of physical. It looked stupid because he could barely walk. At least Sting looked realistic and when the few times he had to get physical like Bobby Roode and that.
Very true. All right, Katie, what's your take on it?
Fuck you, dear. Well, Katie, what's your take on it?
Sorry.
I liked his overall presentation of when he came out, the whole entrance video, the wide shot of him with just the video and just him standing there and him coming out. I think if he's going with Triple H at WrestleMania, I think that's a better opponent if it's not Undertaker, because I think they could have a good match together. And I also think that we might not see him again till possibly the Rumble. Because if they're going to keep him, like, very limited appearances, I think that'll be the next place he'll show up again. Unless they're going to do, like, the rafters kind of thing, which I don't think so. But I liked it overall. I mean, it's good to finally see him. Everybody loved it.
I want to throw this out. Of the three, who would you rather see Sting go up against? Undertaker, Triple H, Bray Wyatt.
Those are good choices. Right now, I would say Triple H.
I'd say Trips as well, for the simple fact that he can do a match that would look brutal, but actually protect Sting, like he did with like the Undertaker ones a few years ago. It's someone he could pretty much do the same job as what Shawn Michaels done with Flair as well. It's just Trips make sense. There's a story also there. That's the main thing. There's actually a story there, so that makes sense, rather than just, oh, they're two dark characters from 10 years ago, which is just the Undertaker one. At least there's a story of Triple H. They'd work the suitable match from there. It's got to be Trips every time.
But even though it's like there's a dark character 10 years ago, it's a dream match. It doesn't matter when it is. It's a dream match.
It is.
Yeah,
it
I'd rather go with...
Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry. I'm real bad about it.
I was going to say, I'd rather go with Bray Wyatt. That way he can technically still put over a younger talent, and he can get a win as well while putting him over. That way you could get the younger talent out there. Because Bray... although he's doing a great matches with Dean, it's kind of, after his John Cena feud, he kind of went south. As much as I love Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, he definitely went south. I've got to say Trips for the simple fact that if you look at it, one is a dream match. Absolutely, hands down, everybody thought Crow Sting versus Taker. The other one, he could put over a new talent that's got that mystical, mythical type character. But if you look deep into the storyline of WCW versus TNA, WCW versus WWE, the core guys that were out there, yes, you had your Austins, you had your Rocks, but the core guy that stuck around and was always there was Triple H. The core guy for WCW that was always there and always working his butt off was Sting. That's reliving that rivalry of WCW versus WWE from back in those days. We don't need to tap back into this dream match aspect. We don't need to start looking at building new stars because there's more people to build Bray Wyatt. But this is the last chance in this era that we are currently living in to relive that era through the workhorses of those companies at that time. And the mic work between the two is just going to be phenomenal.
Also, if you want to have a smarky look at it, what year was it heavy with the Triple H took on like Scott Steiner, Nash, and Goldberg and all that on? That was one year, wasn't it, where he single-handedly pretty much went through the whole WCW roster.
Oh, three, like 2003?
Yeah, three is what it sounds right to me, too.
Yeah,
I was thinking maybe 02, but three just sounded much better.
You could have the unofficial storyline of Triple H finishing up with the last of the WCW workers and stuff, so you could even have that sort of side angle to it.
I think that would be a little much, because to dig a storyline back 12 years, or or 12, 13 years. That is very unlike WWE, unless it's something, something very huge. But, I mean, let's say, oh, yeah, by the way, remember Scott Steiner? And, yeah, well, with all these WCW guys. I don't want you to remember Scott Steiner or Goldberg, because who cares about them? But, yeah, remember them right now. That'd be my only objection with that. But
they don't let us go back 12 minutes, let alone 12 years.
Oh, they do. They go up to 3 hours, DRG. They constantly recap replays on Raw, so they do go back up to 3 hours.
Okay, fair enough. I will give you that.
He was being sarcastic. No, I don't know if sarcasm. Yeah, is sarcasm translated well into British, or no, or is it just too polite or something?
I'd say we're the most sarky country in the world, but obviously not.
We didn't say sarky, we said sarcastic. There's a difference. Sarky. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Love you, Wayne. I missed you.
Anyway, I mean, this is another time that Wayne's topic has really gained some speed. Wayne, what's your second one? We'll try not to spend enough time on it.
Oh, God, I didn't think that far enough. 2 minutes! No, I'm going to mess up Katie's one, no doubt, but she does it to me every week, so I don't care.
All right, moving on. Katie, what was your...
improve the Divas title match. I was actually looking forward to that, because I don't mind Nikki Bella matches, and unfortunately, that was just a joke. So, discuss.
Go ahead, Katie.
Let me talk. Rant. I picked Nikki to win, but I would prefer to see an actual match between the two. I get what they were trying to accomplish with AJ's past, Daniel Bryan from WrestleMania 28, but the Bellas have improved wrestling-wise, and AJ can wrestle. I would just rather have a wrestling match with them instead of a little throwaway thing. Okay, move on.
I think you needed this type of match to build up to something. This is a storyline that can last a couple. If you could take Paige and AJ and turn it into the same old shit for 4 or 5 months, this storyline could be the beginning of something that can last a couple months. I'm happy to see a Total Diva finally hold the title. So there goes that rule that everybody said was out there. That's out the window.
I have a question on that. Wait. I have one question.
No.
The Total Divas returns in January, and the shows are taped months in advance, and they like to make us think that the show coincides with storylines going on Raw. Do we see her still holding the title then? And so they could bring up, like, Total Divas drama on that?
I feel like they're going to use it, Total Divas, to show her path to getting the title back or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to finally emphasize a little bit on, like, okay, this is the Divas division. Granted, doesn't have everybody on it. But, like, it's Divas division that we talk about. Here's the title that they fight for. The title that it's kind of, the show's kind of named after. Let's actually throw it on there, which has been one of my biggest gripes for the show. So, I mean, this is finally, it's going to get it TV time. And the funny thing is, and I was talking with, Wayne and Devil Vamp last night while we were watching Raw, and there's one of the girls that I'm talking to. We were texting, and she asked me what I was watching, and I said, wrestling. She's like, oh, I don't really watch wrestling, but she's like, I like Total Divas. To me, that was like, you just proved something that you don't have to like wrestling to watch it. And her favorites are the Bellas and Natalya.
Yep.
So, WWE, it's working. It's working.
Yep.
Pretty sure with the ratings, they knew that already.
Well, but the question is, like, who's watching it? You don't exactly know who's watching. Is it, are you having people that don't really watch wrestling watch it, or are you having people that just watch wrestling watch it? This proves that there's people watching it who don't necessarily watch wrestling every week, if at all, but they do keep up with Total Divas.
Yeah, there's definitely an audience there.
Yeah, the Total Divas ratings sometimes higher than SmackDown, which is kind of funny.
That kind of makes sense. No, I've said it's not. I know people who. I know people for years, even when there was a brand split, they were like, "I don't care. I'm not watching SmackDown. I don't care. I don't care if one of my favorite wrestlers is on there. I'm not watching SmackDown. I'm gonna just watch it all."
Mine was the other way around. When they did the brand split, that's all I would watch was SmackDown. And now that the top, when CM Punk, I'm going to be called a mark, but when CM Punk moved to Raw, that's when I stopped watching SmackDown.
You mark. You mark.
I am a giant Punk fan, and Vamp knows that very well.
I'm a fan of Quitters, too.
you can call yourself a giant Punk fan all you want, but we have Katie on the panel, and I have really yet to meet anybody bigger. So you are like a medium giant Punk fan.
Okay. We should do a Punk trivia off.
Oh, God. Katie would, well,
she's better than trivia at me. So
if we did an all AJ and Punk one, yeah, she'd get a perfect score.
Who was Punk's sixth grade science teacher at his second elementary once he left the first one? Go.
If any of us know that, we need to go somewhere else because that's a little creepy.
How many girlfriends have CM Punk had?
In wrestling or in life?
Both.
Because pretty much he's dated all the girls in wrestling.
Pretty much.
Was it like Beth Phoenix, Lita,
Maria,
AJ? Maria. I don't know.
Did he date?
Oh, no. That was Batista.
Yeah. Maria, not Melina.
Oh. Okay.
Did he date Kelly Kelly?
No.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think so. That was like TV or whatever.
Anyway, we're going off on a tangent.
Anyway.
Katie, I take it we got one of yours already down.
Well, yeah, the Divas match. My keep would be Daniel Bryan on Raw. It was cool to see him again running Raw, and I think he's running SmackDown this week, too. I just read a tweet somewhere.
Oh, happy days.
Yeah. It was nice to see him again.
Keep it in your pants, Wayne, okay?
I was going to say, finally I can watch SmackDown and actually enjoy it.
Happy days.
Yes.
Wayne, was that your other keep?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan. I didn't realize he was on SmackDown. Anyway, Katie, carry on. I'll shut up.
Well, this is going to be one of them shows, all right?
Keep calm, carry on, and Wayne, shut up.
It was good to see Daniel Bryan back. I mean, I don't know how far along he is coming back to actually wrestle, but he looked genuinely happy to be there, and the crowd loved it. And he was actually good running Raw. I mean, he made a lot of good matches and stuff, and it was fun to see him.
I liked his hair. It was well shampooed and conditioned, and it looked very
it got long.
Flowy. Yeah. I know. I was shocked. He looked really good. I was glad to see him in that role.
When he rubbed it into Stephanie and Triple H's face, though, that made me laugh.
So was it Heavy Hitter that called that?
Moving on. All right. But then again, technically he called it, but at the same time, I don't think he called it for a week. He called it, like, continuous.
Oh, you're just saying half now.
I mean, but I mean, granted, he was pledging it for a week. I mean, for it to go for multiple weeks. So
the fact was, that was the first GM back was Daniel Bryan. Props, Heavy Hitter. Props.
Props, but that's not a fool. He didn't hit, in his terms, he did not hit a grand slam. He hit like inside of the park home run, but not a grand slam.
Did he score? Yeah, that's all that matters. Quit underselling it. Good job, Heavy Hitter.
But a grand slam score is 4, so.
I understand. You got to remember, I'm the one that helped you out with math earlier.
Yeah, sure. Wayne, kick him out. Anyway. I know who we're skipping for the rest of the show. Anyway. Biohazard, you've been Biohazard, talk, okay? Talk.
Well, let's see. I know they announced the Discovery America that we talked about last week for TNA. Apparently they announced that TNA is going to be rehauled starting in January.
Damn it!
I was actually more going to go say talk on the topic, but hey, if we want to move on, violence, move on. That's going to be.
If we want to stay on the topic,
is that your keep?
I think that would be my keep. Yes, but with the Daniel Bryan thing, honestly, he did good last night, but he's still technically injured. He can stay off TV until he gets healed, like with what Vamp said last week.
Is it just me or is Biohazard like Chevy with more charisma?
Yes! Yes! I'm glad
I was going to say, he brings the excitement to the show, doesn't he?
No. Like Chevy had not a lot of charisma, but this is like a little, adds a little bit of charisma to him, and we have Biohazard.
I think Biohazard is more of a vamp-friendly Chevy, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess we got that part too. But anyway, I got nothing much to say about Brian coming back. I thought it was cool. I'm glad that he can shampoo and everything, his hair, everything, although not losing strength in his arm without it falling off. I'd like to see him back. I mean, we got onto a topic last night when we were recording the episode that we decided about half hour through, this isn't going to be a good episode. But people were talking like they should keep Daniel Bryan off TV up until his return. And it was Ant said it, and Devil was kind of a strong advocate of it, right, Wayne?
Yeah, just a bit. He was not exactly happy Daniel Bryan was back, because he even went as far to say that he looked a mess, which is totally opposite to what DRG say. But mm-hmm. I'm more like...
What the fans Devil Vamp is a... Vamp is the same person that was saying how horrible John Cena's promos are, or how horrible Daniel Bryan was last night at a promo, but anytime Triple H opens his mouth, he damn near creams his pants.
Yeah. And the fact that I dared say that his Raw promo was similar to what he's been doing in the last 2 weeks, he's like, no, that's totally different. You're not getting the point of this.
The influx on the E's when he said WWE Network, W-E.
But no, the fans wanted to see Brian. They got a bit. Do you know what I mean? I can't see what was wrong with it. It's not degrading his character. Degrading his character more is Vince standing there going, yes, yes, trying to get yes chance going. That's doing more damage than Daniel Bryan coming out having a one-night stand with being GM and stuff. I loved it. So...
doing more to help keep him relevant than what Roman Reigns has done this entire time. Because they've overexposed Reigns by keeping him back and forth so many times. Daniel Bryan's really been vanished this whole time, and they bring him back once just to give the crowd a taste. That's awesome. It did really good, served its purpose, and we had a hell of a yes chant from it.
So when you didn't like the Roman Reigns doing the thing and saying, making it rain on this bitch?
Not that they just have done it too many times. Kind of like the difference between when Jericho comes back and when Rock comes back. When Rock comes back,
and the fact that he's there in the arena, and they make it seem like he's not, why they couldn't just bring him out to do it?
Believe that.
Oh yeah, wait till he comes back, and you will hear Devil Vamp just bitch and complain. Things to look forward to in the next coming 20 episodes or so.
You know what I hope? I hope he flips heel and his handler is Triple H. I hope Triple H cuts every one of his promos and then Roman Reigns is just wrestling. And then Vamp has to sit there and brag about how awesome segments are with Roman Reigns in them.
Anyway, or in the words of Wayne, right, moving on. Let's go back to Biohazard and his keep.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I like the fact that they're going to rehaul TNA. I mean, last couple months have kind of been shit product other than the Manhattan tapings, but if they're going to rehaul it, that's amazing.
I actually disagree with it being shit product because I think the story that they have been telling has been good. The problem that my biggest problem with it has been Bethlehem's crowd just kind of made everything seem lackluster. But the stories of Spud turning face and the Revolution actually getting some momentum behind them, they've had some good stuff there, but they just have not had that big feeling that they had with the crowd in New York.
No, the problem is the tape, and it was officially the end of this year. The product had gone flat, all the leaks and the Bound for Glory fiasco, just all of that has just made for such a flat batch of tapings. So you are right, there is story progress there, but it's been so overshadowed that you know that these stories that they're building are just going to finish halfway through for a month and a half. Half of what the shocks were all revealed. Thanks, Rampage. It just made for a flat product. That Bound for Glory just didn't help, and all the momentum that was built from the New York tapings is just gone. And hopefully this break coming back, I don't know how they're going to start taping, but they're going to have UK tapings as well coming up, so that will make for some active shows.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be back on. It goes through 3 months on, 3 months off, with everyone kissing TNA's ass, to everyone saying that's it. They're going to have business.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, yeah, we're now at the end of the 3 months shitting on it. We'll get back to our TNA. Watch her again, it's brilliant. So,
see, I had stopped watching for a while right before the Manhattan tapings, and then I heard people on the internet saying how good that they were, which that's what got me attuned back in, and they were amazing. And I watched the Bethlehem tapings all the way up until Bound for Glory, and I haven't watched since then. And I think it, like, you're probably right on the crowd thing. It killed the product.
That was that, and like what Wayne's saying with the 3 months on, 3 months off, you can only keep momentum going for so long before you have some sort of regression, and that's what this was. It was regression, but they have built a substantial amount of stories in regards to what they can do moving forward, and I actually have an article that's supposed to come out sometime today or tomorrow covering what I would like to be done, and the one thing that I said in there that I stand behind is that I want them to have Dixie come back, strip Kurt of power because he assaulted MVP, and have her give the power of the GM to Ethan Carter, especially while he's injured. It gives him a chance to piss the fans off to the point of no return, which he's great at, keeps him on screen, and allows him time to rehabilitate while people aren't sitting there going, well, what's wrong with Ethan Carter? There's one of the biggest things with this revamp that they need to do is that there's certain stories that need to be cut. Samuel Shaw needs to move on to something else because this Gunner thing, it's over with. It's done. The Menagerie and Bromance don't need to be around each other anymore. Chris Melendez, thank you. I respect you for everything that you've done for me as a person in my country, but right now you don't need to be anywhere near Kenny King. Those things can drop, but they can also keep on with what they're doing with Kurt Angle versus MVP. They can continue with what they're doing with Bobby Roode taking out the people that are affecting him with Lashley, MVP, and Kenny King's group. There's certain elements that they can keep going on, but they need to pick and choose what they're doing wisely. And this debut needs to change a lot of things about Impact to make it feel new.
Yeah, I agree there. I think they said they're doing tapings in January in the Manhattan Center, right?
Yes, that's actually going to be one of my improves that I'll touch on in a minute.
Do any of you have the channel that they're going to be on, Destination America?
I haven't looked, so I'll have to double-check later tonight and figure it out.
All right, Katie, if you go to TalkTNAPodcast.com and you look up my last article, TNA Moving Forward, there's an actual locator in there, a little hyperlink.
Oh, no, I have it. I have the channel. I checked.
Okay. Well, Biohazard, you can do that.
I was wondering if you guys have it.
I do.
I'll double check later on tonight then.
Because it's one of those channels where I think it's only in like 50% of homes. So
yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah, it's 52% of homes. I don't remember how many percentage-wise of America it was, but there is potential growth there. And in that article that I wrote, there shows a lot about how Destination America is actually expanding their reach. They're posting double-digit improvements in key demographics. It seems like from their press release and what has been said, these people are willing to get behind TNA and make them a focal point of their network. That's awesome.
TNA talk over. I'm starting to get tired. All right, Biohazard, what is your toss or improve?
That's a hard one.
Really?
There's a lot to choose from.
You want us to come back to you?
Well, come back, because I only caught half of Raw, and then Survivor Series was, yeah. So come back to me.
All right, DRG, did we already mess up one of your keep, toss, or improves?
No. Biohazard touched on it. They're set to record on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of January in New York City. I would improve that by having the first recordings in Glasgow. The reason why is British Boot Camp is supposed to be wrapping up about that time, and they're going to be bringing in the final three contestants to compete for the contract. How proper and fitting would it be to have them in Glasgow, especially if it's going to be Grado that ends up winning? To have him win in front of the Hydra, it would go apeshit nuts. Everybody would love it.
What's her name? Is Nikki Storm still in it?
No, Nikki's out. Kaylee Ray's still in. The people that are left are Rampage Brown, Dave Mastiff, Mark Andrews, Kaylee Ray, Noam Dar, and Grado. Those are the final six. And there's this past episode had a really good part with Austin Aries working with Dave Mastiff and a couple of other things that showed them interacting. EC3 is comedy gold. He's hilarious. Watching him in that opening part where he's talking to Grado was just amazing. And then he grabs Kaylee Ray's hand and goes, hey, sup. But the point of what I was getting to is the episode before this, they had them coming to America. They just now get introduced. And Spud is the tour guide going through Washington, D.C., telling them about all these monuments and saying that this is the Washington Monument. It was constructed in 1923, and it's made about this, this, and this. And Dave Mastiff is going, no, it's not. It's made from this. He just kept correcting them so much so that I actually want to see a television show on the History Channel with Spud and Dave Mastiff doing American facts. It was quite pleasant.
Anybody else got anything? I don't know.
I was just going to say, so when I go and see them at Wembley Arena, which is like the third date of the UK, the tapings, I'm going to be watching a show that is about 3 months ahead or whatever, 2 months ahead. Is that what you're saying, or are they not all tapings coming up?
No, they haven't said. They have not announced if, because the 7th is an actual Wednesday. We don't know if the time slot's going to be back in Wednesday. We don't know if they're planning on doing anything live in broadcasting. I imagine that if you're going to be 3 deep into the tour, then you're probably going to be about a month and a half to 2 months ahead.
I know the Wembley show is definitely TV taping, because that is what it said on the advert for Wembley, but I don't know if, like, Glasgow and Manchester is going to be.
If you think about it, and they were smart about this, they could tape certain story arcs, because they're doing two sets of taping per venue, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what they tend to do.
Yeah, they could do one story arc in Glasgow that carries on into Manchester that they record the next night, then carries on to London. And then the second set of tapings, they could do the finalization of what happens at London back there. It would get the crowd a little bit confused, but at the same time, it would change the progression. So when you're putting these pieces of the puzzle together, there's actually some continuity to it.
But then again, you just said that the crowd at Bethlehem were out of it, and that ruined the show. You've just said something that is then going to confuse us, because I'm quite simple. You get a crowd full of
you
me.
Don't say.
And I'm confused and everything, and then you're going to get
you
the flat
don't
product.
Say.
It depends on how they use it. Like, say, all right, you've got one storyline with Bobby Roode, right? You have Bobby Roode on the first set of on the second set of tapings every night. So you know that this set of tapings, this is going to happen. This set of tapings, this is going to happen. But on the first set of tapings, you wouldn't have any confusion, because Bobby Roode's not going to be on that first set. He's going to be on the second one. You could do the same thing with Menagerie. You can do the same thing. Their roster is big enough that they can stack them to where it's a continual show for you, the viewer, at the live attendance. But space them out with how they record which sequence, and then make it to where the viewing audience doesn't see the difference. The problem with that is, though, is that you're going to see one episode from Glasgow, then another episode from Manchester, then another episode from London, and then go back to Glasgow, back to Manchester, back to London. The problem that I had with the Bethlehem crowd wasn't necessarily that they were confused about what was going on. It's that those first two nights, like this X Division four-way was recorded on the second night. There wasn't a crowd. They were dead. There wasn't enough people there. So it made it feel lackluster when it should have been something big.
And we're back on TNA again, poor Heavy.
Right, moving on. We got, I guess that would leave, okay, Bias, you anything yet? What?
My thoughts, I was going to say, is using the X symbol in matches. I hate that they're doing that. That miss thing where he rolled out to the side, if it would have been the ref checking on him, I'd have been fine. Don't bring the fucking doctors in anymore. That whole Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville match was great up until the point where they start throwing the X to the camera. I'm sick and tired of seeing it.
Well, unless they're really injured, I agree with you.
Exactly. The problem is they're trying to play on us like, hey, he might really be injured. That's fine, but if you overdo it, we're not going to bite on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that a couple years ago in some indie shows. They would fake injuries, and it would be part of the match. Like I've seen one where it's like, all right, they put up the X, somebody comes out, they take the guy to the back, it'd be normally it's a heel, the face is like, all right, I'm sorry, we had to do this. And then just as they're about to go through the curtain, the heel, like, bombards them coming back out, and, the match continues. Yeah, sometimes it's a little bit too predictable, and it's like what you don't see in real sports. Like, for example, football. You don't see you do see people fake injuries all the time, but they do it for
soccer. That's not football.
No, because they do it supposedly they do it to get a free timeout.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, so
the last The last time that it really worked for me was when CM Punk faked the injury, grabbed the kendo stick, and whacked, I want to say it was Brock Lesnar, but I don't know if that's correct.
Was
it Paul Heyman that he whacked?
Okay. Yeah.
That was the last time that it worked, and I was like, oh shit, he might actually really be hurt. Oh, you got me.
All right. Right, moving on. Biohazard, did you come up with yours yet?
Yeah, Toss Fandango.
Oh, we don't have Devil Vampire.
I know he loves him. I can't get behind the character at all. Even with partnering with Rosa, it's giving him a new look, and it's still, I don't care.
Oh, I've got, you sound like him now.
I don't care.
I've got to say, I can't believe I'm defending him, but, Fandango, the new one, is getting unfair criticism. This character is now less cheesy, and actually he's got more
aggression.
Yeah, it's less cheesy. He can actually have stories that aren't so cringe and comedy now. It's just better. I actually quite like the new Fandango. There we go, I said it. I feel dirty now. I'm now going to go and cry.
It's like they took Fandango, took all the cheese out of him, and they gave him a little bit more Johnny Curtis.
His entrance lasted longer than his fucking match.
Yeah, but isn't that like most Undertaker matches?
The Randy Orton.
Both of them together, it's crazy.
But I will say, though, I want him to lose that leg drop finisher. There's a lot of talk about it, and that it's just dangerous, and he's going to be ending up without the ability to walk if he keeps doing it. I think that's just a horrible move. It looks good, but it's not worth his health.
End up like Hogan when he did the leg drop, and it wasn't even from a top rope.
Exactly.
Actually, didn't Double M say the same thing last night?
No, it was me. He went off on one last night.
Ah, okay. I couldn't remember which one it was. You both sound alike. Anyway. My keep, I'm going to have to keep it. I'm surprised we went through this whole time without being mentioned. The sole survivor, the Survivor Series match is my boy, Dolph Ziggler.
Bloke is gold.
I think he's always been gold.
Yeah, it was good.
He had a long night.
in an email that I'm trying to finish for the Spanish announce table, I kind of mentioned the whole thing of, Dolph a couple months ago. Look at what his career was doing. How many people were bitching 6 months ago that, oh my God, they're burying Dolph Ziggler. Look at Dolph Ziggler. Oh my God, what are they going to do with him? And now he's on top of the company. I'm not saying he's going to get a world heavyweight title push, but it's going to show you that sometimes you have to play those roles, and eventually you can get something. You can be made something important. He's right now having a storyline with John Cena that's like what's going on? This is Dolph Ziggler at the top of the company minus a belt. I mean, I love it.
Do you reckon that's why he's dropped the mid-card title so he can now enter the top tier?
Pretty much. It doesn't seem like they're going for a rematch either.
I could see that happening for him. I mean, he the main event pretty much with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins' main event hit it next pay-per-view as well. So, I mean, he was good last night. And even when Sting came out, I mean, it was good. It was good for him.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I quite enjoyed that, too.
I was happy that they let him not only be the sole survivor, but go through three individuals to get there. They made him look exceptionally strong. And regardless of the fact that Seth Rollins was down for 10 minutes because of a zigzag, blah, 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 blah. Regardless of that fact, that moment of him winning and then John Cena coming out, and John Cena has been pushing Dolph Ziggler did this, it's showing a lot of confidence in him. And I like to see that.
The only thing I want to say, and I'm being pedantic, and I'll probably be booted off the call for it, I've got to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure Dolph Ziggler weren't the sole survivor, because I'm pretty sure Big Show wasn't active when he turned on Cena, and walking off means he wouldn't have got counted out, which means that technically Big Show was still active at the end.
You smark. smark.
I'm being that annoying person that I had to be said.
You're lucky you can't be kicked off the call because you're technically the one hosting the call right now.
Why do you think I offered to do it?
You're like, oh, I don't want to get kicked off the show. Fuck this shit. Yeah, I mean, granted, like, he wasn't the quote sole survivor because it could be one of those things like, it just, that's how it worked, but technically that's how they're going to put it in the record books that that's what happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Ziggler the legal man when Rusev got counted out too?
Somebody's going to have to go back and check that out. Katie, you're a fact checker. You know everything.
That was Ziggler that was on the table and climbed into the ring, so I'm assuming he'll be the legal one.
Yeah, because I read an article.
Flash, though.
Rusev, crush the table.
So it was four guys that he eliminated then.
Yeah, Big Show eliminated Henry. And then Ziggler took out the remaining authority figures. Think about how much that statement makes about how much confidence they have in Dolph Ziggler.
Also, Dolph Ziggler has the most lethal finisher in the history of the company. That last zigzag knocked Seth Rollins out for about 10 minutes while Sting come out and everything.
Can you imagine what goes through your head when you're laying there 10 minutes while Sting's in the ring with Triple H, both of them, Ziggler and Rollins?
Oh, shit, I got an itch. I can't itch. Oh, shit, I got an itch.
Oh, God.
I bet they're going, at least it's not Randy Orton we're waiting on.
Oh, my God. I think my other keep, not really a keep, but it just needs to be highlighted. I could put on the best of the week, but no, I'm going to put it for right now. The John Cena Foot Locker commercial.
I haven't seen this. You and Vamp talked about it last night. I've yet to see it.
Go on YouTube, you bloke. Oh, God. As you would probably say. It's fucking hilarious.
It's funny.
It's the most likable John Cena's probably been to the masses in a while. I seen it last week on online before it actually got put on with WWE programming. And I saw it with a lot of articles, like people were like posting like crazy. It's catching on. I think it's the fact that they even let John Cena like kind of like poke fun at it without saying a little bit tongue in cheek. I mean, that's just fucking awesome.
I thought it was amazing they went that route with it.
I'm gonna have to watch this because I completely fast forwarded through it.
It's only 2:15. I love it. 2 minutes.
I cannot watch Raw on not recorded, and I had to this week because I started it too early, and I got stuck in that Big Show segment, and I couldn't get out of it. So yeah, I got stuck.
I would imagine you sitting there like in a room, like with your hands on your head, going no.
What was happening? I was screaming at the television. You did this 6 months ago, asshole.
Were you starting to cry? Like
it's a good way to torture him. Just put him in a room, watch, put Big Show on crying all the time.
Oh, my gosh. oh my god, literally, I
were you like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care.
It wasn't that. I actually do care because I like Big Show. I respect Big Show. I think that he's one of, if not the best big men that has ever come through wrestling. But the problem is that the way that they book him at times makes me cringe. And so I get pissed off at it because I'm like, he could be so much better than what you're giving him. And hell, his WWE movie blew fucking Triple H's out of the water. And hands down, Triple H is a better promo guy than Big Show. Give him something that is good.
I think when it comes down to Big Show, he's been there, done that. I was, this was brought up on LaBar's show today when I was listening to it. There have been 12 face turns and 12 heel turns from Big Show.
Really?
Since he's entered WWE, not counting WCW.
Yeah. Was it you, Wayne, that posted that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Katie.
I said it feels like a hell of a lot more. He did.
Well, that's still 24. That's a lot. I mean, to go like the heel, the face, the heel, the face, the heel, the face, the heel, the face. I want to see what it's compared to Kane's.
Wayne, was it you that put out that little picture that listed every one of the heel turns in order from the time that he joined WWE?
No, I weren't me, but that sounds quite interesting because I bet you that's...
The list is pretty impressive to see how he flipped for this reason, and then he flipped for that reason, and he flipped by returning as a face, and then the same night punched Rey Mysterio in the face and turned heel.
Intriguing in a good way or intriguing in a frustrating way?
No, it's intriguing just to see it. I find it interesting when you put a list down and you can actually see the factual data in front of you to see just how in-depth they have gone with this character in every flip, but just how quick those flips came back to back to back. It seems like, honestly, every 6 months, he's flipping.
That and Mark Henry. I wrote on an email, I said, if he and Mark Henry take bets and see who could turn faster.
Add Kane to that.
Yeah, Kane. That conversation. Yeah. At least with Mark Henry's, there's those big moments where you remember him turning heel. Like the John Cena, his retirement thing. I'm going to remember that, not only for his salmon-colored suit that he wore out, but the fact that he brought out the wrestling boots, and that promo was amazing. He did an excellent job.
I've got it. 17 turns for Kane. I've got the list here.
Oh, wow.
17 face, 17 heel, or 17 total?
17 total.
Wow! He's had a two-year advantage on Big Show. Big Show came in the WWE at the beginning of 99. Well, maybe about a year and a half, technically.
Yeah.
And there's that many more different. Wow. And then again, I think
this has just gone by a forum post by someone called Kenneth on Yahoo, but he's actually got it. So he's got debuted as a heel, turned face in 98 to assist Austin, turned heel to join Corporation. That does it all the way to it goes turned face in 2012. To feud with Daniel Bryan, so then obviously he's turned heel again since then. So, yeah, 17.
Well, you know who's not on the list yet? Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. John Cena.
Oh, can we talk about the New Day?
They're coming on SmackDown this week.
That was a highlight for me. I Big E in his preacher voice is one thing, but that final promo before they announced that they'll be there next week where they were all together, that was really good. I was very impressed with all three of them. Okay, so I guess we can't talk about New Day. Fuck all of y'all. I liked it.
I was going to say, I'm waiting just to see what they do with them, because there's been a lot of times we have a lot of promos that we think is great, but then they get to the show and we kind of don't like them anymore.
I'm actually going to agree with Devil Vamp for once. I want them to be all happy, clappy, cheery, gospely on the ads and when the music first hit in the arena, but they come out and they just turn and they just beat the crap out of people. And then they go back to being singing and happy again. And they just turn into like a horrible, like, group that just beat people down, but they think they're like pure and great, and that would do it for me. That'd be awesome.
It does have that feel.
I said they're going to be on SmackDown this week. They said next week, but they are on SmackDown.
Yeah, but nobody watches SmackDown. So technically, they won't debut till next week.
So technically, yeah. they should put them on Total Divas, and then everybody's going to watch it.
Exactly.
Right, moving on.
That's always the best segue, mate.
Well,
right.
No. For those who obviously didn't catch it, the recording that no one's going to hear, I actually poke fun at Wayne, because Wayne, when he hosts Second Shift, his move-on line is, right, moving on.
I'm going to have that made into a T-shirt that you can buy off Pro Wrestling Tees.
Turn into a meme.
That'll be the official Second Shift shirt, right, moving on.
That and then Oh Happy Day needs to be added to the list.
I would probably buy an Oh Happy Day shirt.
I can't. He said it, and then I automatically thought Whoopi Goldberg and Sister Act, and then immediately after that, I thought of the New Day. So it's like 7 degrees of pro wrestling. I can't get away from it.
I'll even let them have it as their catchphrase if they ask me. If Kofi come up to me and ask me, I'll let them have it.
So that's who you're looking for. It wasn't Jerry Lawler that you're planning to run into. It was Kofi. But listen here, bloke. I've got an idea for you. It's going to work perfect. God, I have a horrible English accent.
I was going
to
say, I thought you were trying
to
be
perfect.
Oh, shit. Right, moving on. Kevy, what's next? What's on?
Well, that's right, because now I'm going to play the sound clip for...
What's on?
Anyway, what is on? Okay, I'm going to go first because, you know, I don't really ever have anything to watch, but one thing that I did this week is when I was at home, I stopped at FYE and they were having a sale. Buy one, get one free for WWE DVDs. So I was like, okay, let me see what I like. And I picked up, I don't know if this is all that I bought. I bought the best of, Sting's DVD, Mick Foley's DVD from a couple years ago that comes with the Socko. ECW Unreleased Volume 1. I already bought Volume 2 earlier this year. Macho Man's first DVD set. Also bought his newer set, but I bought it the day before. WrestleMania 3, because that came in a set with Macho Man and WrestleMania 3. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's DVD came with the Rise and Fall of WCW. I think there was more. I can't remember too sure, but I dropped so much money. I dropped like $80 there. And the thing that caught my eye as I, well, hey, because I bought all of that, I got a free WWE messenger bag. It's not the highest quality. It's not the greatest messenger bag, but hell, it was free.
It's
screw
free.
It. Yeah. But the thing they had behind the counter that no one has talked about, and sometimes why I like going to FYE and why I like going to Best Buy, they had the collector's edition for Macho Man's new DVD. It is $120 full price, but the sale price on it was $80 or $90. Last night we looked it up. It's this DVD set, the old DVD set, a pair of Macho Man sunglasses, what looks to be a pair of Macho Man tights, but I think it's something that's just the size of it. What am I missing? Oh, and a Macho Man shirt, I think a couple extra booklets, and it's that much. And it comes in this, like, box. So I'm waiting for someone to buy that one, because that's crazy.
It might be a bandana.
It could be a bandana, but, like, if you go on Amazon, if you can, oh, God, that'd be hilarious.
Cowboy hat.
If you go to Amazon, look it up. I think that's where we looked it up at. It's in the shape of tights, but I'm like, there's no way in hell. It's like, here, dress up like Macho Man. Here, buy it with these DVDs. Go, yeah. That's a little much. You're only missing the tassels and, like Katie mentioned, the cowboy hat.
The biggest question, did it include a Slim Jim?
it should come with a free box.
It should come with a free box, damn it. All right, why did you not go put all that other stuff back and just said, should be gone, and spend the $80 to get the Macho Man? Why did you buy all the other stuff? It's Macho Man, dude.
Because I already bought that DVD the day before.
Oh,
at
okay.
Walmart.
Fine.
Yeah.
For $9.99.
No, I think it was a little bit more than that.
Did anybody watch the new Macho Man DVD?
Yep, I saw it about 6 hours ago. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
You saw it?
I saw it.
Saw it.
I saw it.
That's what you said.
Yeah, I know.
It's that's my excuse for everything.
Yeah, sure.
Right, moving on.
Is that what you what's on, Wayne?
Yeah, I watched Macho Man when I got up from bed.
Right, moving on. Katie, what's...
And I also caught the Monday Night Wars from this week, which was the celebrity appearances. And, oh, my God, no one loved that David Arquette title run, did they? Gene Oakland, proper shout on it.
Who the hell likes David Arquette anyway?
No, but just saying Gene Oakland, that's normally so sort of... Gene-ish, suddenly, I don't know what I meant by that, but, you know,
Gene-ish.
He proper, like, just sat there going, I don't know what they were doing. It's just, that was really funny, it made me laugh.
So that goes to show you, like, everybody hated when he came on there.
I liked the bit, literally the little bit with Booker, and apparently David Arquette goes out the back, DDP's just told him that, like, you're going to win the title tonight, and, yeah. It's not a good idea, but you're having it. And David Arquette goes up to Booker T and goes, so how many times have you won the title? And Booker T turns around and goes, actually, I've been here so many years and I've not won the title yet. And that just literally hammers home what a stupid thing that was. Wow. With everyone in the back working their asses off, and yet he waltzes in just to get a bit of cheap publicity. And yet you get Vince Russo still sit there and go, wow, it went on the paper. I hate that bloke. He deserves a slap.
So it's my big thing was Russo still trying to defend it after all these.
He said people are still talking about it.
Oh my gosh, that dude cracks me up. In all fairness, the best celebrity appearance that WCW ever had, and I hate that I'm saying this, was Jay Leno.
Oh, they weren't such fans of that either.
That was so god awful. It made you laugh.
Oh, that was just like the beatdown with Bischoff, and that just flying all over the place was just.
I'm laughing thinking about his hair going. Ah, ah, ah.
What about Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, that's the one I remember the most.
Those are good, though. Those were actually, they were well done and somewhat tasteful. They didn't overexpose them in the ring. Karl Malone doing the diamond cutter kind of worked. The Jay Leno was so fucking bad, it was funny.
As Phil Brooks said of Walking Dead fame, he said that you could sort of forgive the Rodman ones, because appearances, because they're athletes and stuff. Leno was just embarrassing.
Of Walking Dead fame.
You mean Talking Dead?
I don't care. I don't watch that shit.
I don't watch the shit either, but I'm just correcting Wayne because he fucked up.
Did I say Walking Dead or did I say Talking Dead? I was thinking Talking Dead.
You said Walking Dead.
Oh, never mind. Right. My mouth can't quite go the way my Walking Dead does. Sorry.
It's all right, Wayne. You also said David Arquette. So
I can't say stupid names.
There we go. Arquette. It's not like Giant Sileco Hulepe de Bambana. It's Arquette.
That was a dog, swear it.
It's not like saying Massachusetts.
Right, moving on.
Katie, what have you been watching? Or what's been on? What have you listened to? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I watched Survivor Series. And Raw mostly. What did I watch? Oh, I watched an old Survivor Series from 1990. That was when, like, the Survivors go into a bigger team to be the Ultimate Survivors team. 1990. Do you guys remember that one?
Nope. I was 1990.
Oh, I'll give you another hint. This is when there was two debuts. The Gobbledygooker and The Undertaker. That was the main one.
Good old Hector.
A little bit of trivia. Where were the first two Survivor Series held?
Cleveland, Ohio.
No, not technically.
Oh, sorry. That's just a go-to whenever you have a question about where something's from.
Was one in Canada?
No. Technically, it's Richfield, Ohio, which is kind of.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right, moving on. unless you got more, Katie.
No, I'm good. That's all I watched.
DRG, fuck you. Biohazard, what have you been watching?
I went back and watched Survivor Series 2003, which had the ambulance match between Shane McMahon and Kane.
Oh.
How was that?
I miss Shane McMahon.
I went back and watched SummerSlam of that year, too, and just that whole feud was amazing. And that match where he jumps off the ambulance and does a coast-to-coast to Kane was pretty – that was a great setup there.
Nice spot.
Shane's the most fearless out of all the McMahons.
I think that was – which one? Yeah, Survivor Series was McMahon versus Taker and Buried Alive, too.
Oh.
Which set up for Undertaker returning to face Kane under the Dead Man gimmick.
Yeah, I remember that was such a bleed up. Like, whenever he got buried, like, I knew that's what was coming, and I waited all up until WrestleMania for that to happen, and that was, for months, just like, oh, Undertaker, old school Undertaker coming back, I can't wait!
Because in the
now I'm just like, Undertaker, retire. Please.
Yeah. SummerSlam was the Elimination Chamber. I think it was the first one with Goldberg. No, it wasn't the first one. It was the second one. The first one was the year prior. I think Goldberg, Triple H won. I don't even remember who was in it. Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash.
I don't remember the other one.
Jericho.
Yeah.
And RVD. Yeah. Wasn't RVD the other one?
I don't believe. No, RVD wasn't in this one. I know in the first one it was RVD, Booker T, Shawn Michaels. Kane wasn't in this one, but he was in the first one.
Was that the Evolution time where it was Batista and Randy Orton?
Randy Orton was the other one, yeah. Batista wasn't in it, though.
Okay. I figured it was one of the two.
I know the finish was Ric Flair threw the sledgehammer to Triple H and knocked out Goldberg, and then they ended up at handcuffing Goldberg to the cage and beating him up from there.
Yeah, that was the one where I think everybody wanted Goldberg to win, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So they pulled a WCW only with a sledgehammer instead of a cattle prod.
Yeah. Because that's also the one where Goldberg speared Jericho through the pod.
Oh, that was an awesome spot. I remember that.
Yeah. And those are other than NXT, that's all I've really been watching lately. I watched the Survivor Series just to get pumped for this Survivor Series. But I have to go back and watch No Mercy to get the other match between Shane and Kane, because the ambulance match was supposed to be the payoff.
DRG, what have you been watching?
Too damn much. non-wrestling related?
Yeah. Or I don't know. We did 1 week, we went un-wrestling related. And I'm debating whether that's something that, as something as a show, that we should keep going. Because it's kind of cool, like, okay, we all know we've been watching and listening, like, wrestling-wise, but what are we doing non-wrestling-wise? What are you listening to non-wrestling-wise? Are you listening to NFL Easy Picks on KFA Sports Radio?
I was going to go both routes. I was going to say, non-wrestling-wise, I watched Big Hero 6, took the kids to go see that. Was a very good movie. I liked it a lot. Jurassic Park's trailer came out today for Jurassic World, and I marked out bad.
It
looked really good. I don't care if the acting's bad. I don't care if the CGI is bad. That's the whole point of those movies, is to go as over the top as possible about fantasy dinosaurs. So, yeah. yes, I did start listening to NFL Easy Picks this week.
Good boy.
And I probably should have been listening a long time ago, seeing as how I'm the front runner in the pick'em thing. And I've been in there for this whole time and did not realize that y'all covered that on the show.
Yeah.
Had I known that y'all were covering that on the show, because I thought y'all were talking about y'all's fantasy league and then picks for the week that y'all were going with. So I was like, I already got fantasy focus, and I've got I don't listen to a lot of football podcasts. But whenever I picked up on it and listened to it, I was like, holy shit, this is actually comedy and other things to it. So I liked it. I enjoyed it. Mop cracks me up, and the cucumber thing is way too over the top.
I was I've been trying to sell the show to people kind of who don't like football, like Wayne and Kata and Devil Vamp. Like, granted, I mean, there's a lot of talk on football. We're talking about games and player stuff, but we go outside of it. Like, there was actually a part of the show last week where I mentioned of wrestling. I was like, you know, if Randy Orton just shows up at Survivor Series, it's still an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah. Talking about how long his entrance is. One of the things you did bring up, I did not pick Houston just because I'm a homer. They are my home team. Don't get me wrong. I love them, even though they suck at the moment. But anyways, wrestling-related, what I've been watching have been Lucha Underground, which I don't know if y'all caught this, but the week before this past one, they had Phoenix versus Drago versus Pentagon Jr. in a great, crazy, fast-paced match. Really cool spots. And then this week they had Focus on Drago, which he's got this unique look to him with this long serpent-like tongue that comes out of his mouth. It was pretty cool stuff. But British Boot Camp. I did catch a little bit of Dragon Gate's pay-per-view. I actually was on Twitter, and I asked MVP a question if he knew if he liked wrestlers like B&B Hulk, those strong style but more fast-paced, quick, more high-flyer aspects. And he said he had never heard of Dragon Gate before and asked me to – he said, school me. So I sent him a link to that and then a link to I'm going to butcher it. I'm not even going to try, but it's B&B Hulk and his tag team partner versus Kenta and his tag team partner. And he got back to me and he said he liked it. The match that I showed him with B&B Hulk and Tozawa was for the Open the Never Gate Championship. It was really good. So, yeah, that's what I'm watching wrestling-wise.
I'm going through GroupMe right now, and Kata mentioned that we have no NFL talk on DSJNP, so I'm going to take this time to say, fuck you, Kata. Listen to my goddamn show. Anyway.
Football.
Since CRG talked about like stuff he's been other non-wrestling related, we did it 1 week. Let's fucking do it again. We'll go back around the horn. Anything non-wrestling related, listening to, watching Kata? Not Kata. Wayne, same difference.
British, English, Australian, New Zealand, they're all the same shit.
Yeah, they're all sheep fuckers.
I did catch the one.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry, I had a picture.
I'm not Welsh.
No, I had a picture of Living Legend pop in my head the moment you said.
Yeah, where did that one come from? But
just don't say cunt. Oh, sorry, my bad.
Right, I did. This isn't going to help things. I'm going to be called a monkey fucker now. But I did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I really liked it.
Like, that's the worst thing we've ever called you, monkey fucker. Did you like it? Was it good?
No, yeah, I thought that was awesome. I can't wait for the third one that's just been confirmed. So.
I'm Dirty Ape.
Damn Dirty Ape.
It's a good series. I do like what they've been doing with it.
I just like the fact that, I don't know if it's just the stream I caught or if it's the thingy, the fact that there was like no subtitles with the monkeys and half the film was the monkeys talking, so you can draw whatever conversation you want out of it. I just love that sort of thing where you can go sort of, it's just brilliant. The fact that there was so much conversation but without any conversation was just really compelling to watch.
The first time I watched District 9, I had that same problem. And if you haven't watched District 9, you cannot understand a single word that the aliens are saying unless there's subtitles. So half of the movie's plot, I didn't understand. I was making up as it went, and it was amazeballs.
Katie, what have you, non-wrestling lady, been watching, listening to, and whatnot? Do you watch or listen to anything non-wrestling related?
I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. Like, I haven't watched much regular TV.
What do you watch on
YouTube? There's a lot of comedy stuff. Like, I watched this thing called The Nostalgia Critic, where you're...
Yes! Yes! Movie.
Calm down, buddy.
So sorry, we've got to have a
burn. I get you heard of it.
You sound like Devil Vamp when Triple H comes on the screen. Shit.
No, I've watched it for a while. I like him reviewing, because a lot of stuff I grew up watching too. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the commercial ones that he does. Yes. And a lot of the old TV shows. like Disney Afternoon and things. I think he's funny. I enjoy watching him.
What's it called?
The Nostalgia Critic.
Nostalgia Critic. His real name is Doug Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite movie it was the Batman and Robin one, the Bat Credit Card.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen that one. I'm a little. It's been a while since I've got to sit down and watch them. But there was a time period where I was binge watching on some of the stuff. And there's some stuff I'd watch and be like, "Man, you're being a little too harsh on the product." And there's other ones that I think it's amazing. Like I've never seen Short Circuit 1, but I've seen 2. But I watched his review on 1 to inform me of what 1 was about. And I'm like, all right, that's good enough.
Is that what you're doing for old school movies?
Yes, that's what I did. That's what I watched.
I like a lot of the top 11 lists, too.
Yes, top 11, because just good to go that one step farther.
Yep.
I would definitely suggest people check out him. Yeah. What about you, Biohazard? Quiet in the corner. Chevy Jr.
Chevy.
Ford.
Chevy. I haven't really watched any non-wrestling related stuff this week. Been playing Super Smash Brothers, but other than that,
how is it?
Amazing. It's so much better than Brawl, but they put in the Amiibo figures, and they announced they're going to do a port for the 3DS for the Amiibo figures as well, which I'm pretty excited about. But
that is
awesome.
All
I've been doing is watching wrestling and playing that at the same time, working. Not really watching TV a whole lot lately.
Avoiding society.
Yeah, that's the life.
Yes, it is.
I think for me, the only thing like non-wrestling related I've listened to, besides NFL Easy Picks on KFABE Sports Radio, cheap plug. The thing that I could talk about every week, because they're doing, I think, one every week till the end of the year, is the Epic Rap Battles of History. And I loved last week's, which was Bonnie and Clyde versus Romeo and Juliet. But
this week's was great. Yeah.
I gotta sit down and really watch it more, because it's gonna be one of those, like, there's times where like they'll come out with a new one and I'm just like, I'm not feeling this, but like the more I listen to it, the more I watch it, I get into it, there's things I catch. But the fact that it's Legos, that's what's gonna get me, so I'm gonna have to just actually listen to it more than actually watch it, because
yeah.
I like when they dress up as the character and going all that stuff. So when it's all Legos, I'm just like, oh, God.
If you watch the
behind the scenes one, the behind the scenes part yet. I don't think I've watched any of the behind the scenes of this year. No, I watched the Ghostbusters one. Ghostbusters Mythbusters, because I love that one. But not this past two.
Yeah, they go into, for this episode, the behind the scenes on why they chose to do Legos and stuff.
I went back and, at y'all's recommendation, watched these. They're hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. The Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo versus their identical twins, only in Renaissance form, was hilarious. I loved it. But I brought up one called Nerds vs. Geeks when we were on that time, and I found out that it's Rhett and Link of Mystical Morning Show that do those. So, but I was very pleased by the Epic Rap Battles. That Bonnie and Clyde one versus Romeo and Juliet was really good. The Darth Vader versus Hitler's were hilarious.
Did you see the wrestling-related one? They did Kim Jong-il versus Hulk Hogan and Macho Man.
Yeah. That was like season one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first season. Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones.
Because of Epic Rap Battles of History is the reason why I watch Doctor Who. Because I seen that Doctor Who, or the Doctor versus Doc Brown, I was like, oh my God, I need to start watching this show now. Right, moving on. Let's get into the picks from last week, which we spent a good 15, 20 minutes before we started recording, comparing notes
math.
To make sure math.
Because we still don't know math.
We still don't know math. We don't have an official entry leaderboard. It's all like paper. Devil. I like how Devil does the picks, and then when it comes to the review shows,
he misses them.
Yes. And there was some shit math that he fucked up on. There's shit math that I fucked up on. But
DRG did.
Yeah, DRG. Fuck you. Anyway.
Yeah. I know math. I know my math. I did my reading, writing, and arithmetic.
To review of where we stood going into it, because I don't think Devil Vamp covered this last week, or did he?
He read them off in a backwards order to where you couldn't tell who was in first place and who was in last. He just kind of went, okay, this is the person I'm going to read first.
Going by my count, from what I had from the last post-pay-per-view episode, first place was Wayne with 13. Second place was a tie, myself, Katie, and Devil Vamp. And last place, DRG with 9. And if you want to get technical, Biohazard with 0, the real last place. But anyway.
I'm pretty sure I was higher on that list than where it's at. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to that. But go ahead.
You're going to have to re-listen to a couple episodes. Because you're going to have to listen to...
The NXT.
Yeah, that's the thing. The NXT, the pre, the post, and the pre and post last pay-per-view. And then, okay, that's your homework. You get back with us and let us know if you're higher. Well, you probably won't tell us if you're lower. You're like, oh, shit, they gave me an extra point. Fuck it.
No, I'm honest. Not much, but I am honest because I like to win things honestly. Kind of like the NFL easy picks. So.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you were higher on that list, actually. Because the thing that we talked about pre-show, I didn't correct
you
on
did it again.
The previous. I fucking did it again. God damn it. Actually, DRG has 11.
There you go, sport.
I've made that correction. He had 11 going in. So it was actually a tie for last place, myself and Katie and Devil Vamp. But Devil Vamp's always last place, so fuck it. Anyway.
Get to the matches.
Yeah, let's get to the matches. This show is already long enough as is, but I'm not fucking Devil Vamp. I don't care. All right, to review the picks, Fandango versus what ended up being Justin Gabriel. Myself, Katie, and Wayne got that right. Oh, and Devil Vamp by picking Fandango. Biohazard and DRG went on the limb and picked the mystery opponent, and they got wah, 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 wah. We were split with AJ Lee and Nikki Bella, but myself, Katie, and Wayne got it right. The triple...
You know
the,
what?
You know what? You know why?
I'm the Divas Champion.
That's going to be fun for us. The tag team title four-way match, we all picked Mizdow. Mizdow won. Move it on.
Yeah, we're not stupid on this one.
the Divas Survivor Series match, I have it down in my notes, face versus heels, the faces won, and Wayne, myself, and Biohazard got it right.
It's a bit of a pattern here forming, isn't there, Heavy?
In all fairness to my pick, I thought it was going to be Team Paige versus Team Fox, not Team Natty. If they'd have done Team Natty, I might have gone, okay, yeah, it's going to be Natty. But
what
no,
the hell? What difference?
Technically, the team is Team Fox. You go on Wikipedia, it's Team Fox. But we call
it
Natty because it's Alicia Fox, and you're just going to say, fuck that, Team Natty.
Yeah, see, I didn't think of that. I completely passed my mind that Alicia Fox might be a face again.
Yeah, Paige is a face again. Already?
No,
She's already gone face, heel, face within 6 months. She's the new Big Show.
Oh,
just everything opposite.
She's
pale.
She's
like one-tenth his size and a woman.
And she farts cookies, according to Wayne.
Farts cookies.
All right. I didn't mean to derail this. Right, moving on.
No, I got to make a note for the clip of the show, because that's what I'm using. And right, moving on, we got Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt won by DQ, so that actually gave Devil Vamp an automatic bonus point, and Devil Vamp, myself, Wayne, and Biohazard got that correct.
I liked the match.
It was good.
then we have the main event of the evening that we all seen the outcome coming. We all picked Team Cena. We all got it correct. Katie decided to be ballsy and pick Cena would be the sole survivor. So she got a negative point on that one. And
I have no balls.
But, I don't know, I might use that one as a clip, too. We'll see what's going on.
I have no balls, but I fart cookies.
I decided to be extra ballsy. I picked that Cena would be eliminated, which got me a bonus point. But Ryback did not eliminate Rusev, so that took away that bonus point. So I really didn't wager shit.
Good job, buddy.
And then there was the guy who would have got in last place for the event, but he decided to risk 3 points on the return of Wade Barrett. And he went from a 2 to a 5. So you're
fine. I just wager 100.
Well, supposedly we only have enough to work with of how many points we have.
I'm smart. I proved it by knowing math, and I proved it by knowing that I can wager more than 1 point.
You got a, early on. You got a nickel and a diamond.
On your nose.
But the final count for the event was myself and Wayne got a perfect 6 correct.
Boom.
Devil Vamp.
Go find that cookie.
Devil Vamp got a 4, but got a 5 with his bonus point. Biohazard got 4 correct. DRG got 5, and Katie got 3.
Yeah, just so y'all know, y'all had a perfect score and ended up with, your points. I got 2. Freaking 2. And still ended up with a 5.
Because you risked 3 points. You should have did 6.
Which
we'll get to why, because our final count for the top score is Wayne is in first place with 19. I am in second place, tied with DRG with 16. Devil Vamp has 15. Katie has 13. And, well, Biohazard first event, so he automatically has 4.
4.
But you better be risking 4 points every time moving out. Catch up.
Every pay-per-view.
All or nothing, son.
Double down, dollar.
Double down, are we going to KFC?
This reminds me of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where the things are made up and the points don't matter.
That's right. Damn.
Why?
No.
Why, because I look like Drew Carey and I'm from Cleveland?
If y'all go back several episodes, Wayne had a point to where he was on this random tangent and started speaking like a Japanese person and started going, dollar, $5, make your money.
Really? I don't even remember that.
Oh, I wish I could remember what episode it was on, but I cracked it. I was going back through different timelines earlier this week, and I was dying laughing.
Come WrestleMania, somebody's going to bet another shirt again.
I hope it's Devil Van, but I hope it's something good where I'm like, alright, I want to do this.
I've got one. That's going to be me get the t-shirt when I say Sting goes over Triple H.
No, that's gold. It'll be good. Right, moving on. I'm going to bring it back. The DSJMP audio biography, and since we have done a round of everybody except Wayne, because Wayne doesn't matter, we are actually going to talk to Biohazard. And Biohazard, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I've lived in Georgia all my life. I started watching wrestling. I'm sorry, too. I've been watching wrestling, since I was 4. I remember. I remember sitting on the couch.
How old are you now?
I am 22.
Okay.
Now. Okay. So, been watching it for at least 18 years. And I remember during the Attitude Era when my father would switch between WCW and WWE, or F at the time, and it would piss me off because one would be in a match and the other would be a promo setting up for a match, and he would turn it because he hated promos.
Whoa.
And it was one of the filler promos to say, hey, this match is next. And back then, those made me want to watch it because that made me more invested into the match, whereas he would turn the channel and it would be halfway between two guys like Gangrel and somebody fighting each other, and I didn't understand at the time why those two were beating each other up. And then I went to my first wrestling event when I was 14. It was a SmackDown taping in Columbia, South Carolina. The main event was Eminem versus Batista and Rey Mysterio for the tag team titles.
For a second, I forgot that we had Eminem. And I thought,
I thought
the rapper Eminem. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh yeah, Eminem. I forgot about them.
John Cena. Eminem versus John Cena really happened.
But that was when I think I was a big fan of the Undertaker. That was the first time the Boogeyman used pyro during his entrance, which I was 14 and it scared the crap out of me because I was not expecting it to be as loud as it was. I think I've been to every wrestling event since 2009 that came to my town, which is Augusta, unfortunately. And I've been...
Does that include TNA and indie shows, or is that just WWE?
I went to the one TNA event that came here. And honestly, there weren't that many people here, but the show was a lot better than the WWE shows. The ticket prices were actually reasonable, too. I think they did for me, I spent $30 and I was four up from the floor. And that was when I was a big TNA fan. I think they were doing the main event Mafia thing, right after Samoa Joe was put into it. And I think it was Samoa Joe and Taz. And I remember AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle was the main event, and it was a pretty damn good match. Let's see. I got the WWE Network during WrestleMania. My family has been huge into wrestling during the Attitude Era anyway. All the way to, they have the big foam DX sign, and that's honestly how I got into it, because over the summer I would stay at my grandma's and all my cousins would sit around and watch Monday Night Raw and beat each other up, and we just go outside and imitate all the wrestling moves. And even as I got older, my nephews, they got into wrestling because of me, and we would fight and we'd play all the games and all the other stuff like that. But other than that, now I've become a huge, I'm more into wrestling now than I had when I was younger. That's all I do now, is just watch wrestling and talk about wrestling and all that stuff.
What was your favorite memory from attending a live event?
The TNA one, when Samoa Joe won his match, the main event Mafia sign, and he recognized that I threw it up and gave me a thumbs up. And I think I was 15 at the time, and it stuck out to me because the fact that he watched him on TV and he pointed me out of the crowd was, or at least it felt like he pointed me out of the crowd. That was, I marked out at that point.
That's cool. Very cool.
Have you ever met any of the wrestlers?
I got Goldberg's autograph one time, but it was one of the.
Why?
He was at the Civic Center. There was a car show and they did he was there. So there was stand in line and get Goldberg's autograph, and I was not a big fan of Goldberg, but it was a wrestler that I saw on TV, and I have Eminem's autograph from when they came to Columbia.
So you weren't a fan of Goldberg, even though you played for the Falcons?
I'm not that big into football.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I'm not that big into Goldberg, so I understand.
When he did his 3 minutes of fame in WWE, I was not a big fan of him in WWE. I understand where his career in WCW and how they built him, and he was great there. When he came to WWE, he was just like, all right, dream matches, now you can go away. I didn't care.
All right. Besides Goldberg, who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
CM Punk. But my reasonings are a little different. I do think he's a great mic worker. He's great in the ring. But when he debuted in, was it 2005 or 6 in ECW? His.
Yes.
Katie?
Yeah, it was 06.
Yeah, 06. Because he debuted right around the time of the relaunch of ECW, and I know the first One Night Stand was 05, so it was 06.
Yeah. When he did they did the Straight Edge promos, I think I was just in high school, and that really stuck out in my mind that there is people out there that don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, and they can still make it, they can still get to that level, whereas at that point before then, that's all I heard about was people partying and people doing drugs and things like that, and that's why today, now I'm Straight Edge as well. I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs. And that promo is what put it over the top. Even his Straight Edge Society stuff, that still sticks in my mind. And people hated me for that, liking him during Straight Edge Society. But I loved it. I could care less.
It was good. It was some good stuff.
Yeah.
How did you start listening to this show?
Devil Vamp. Pushing it every single day I've seen him. He's like, hey, you watch wrestling? We talk about wrestling. You should listen to the show. So one day I was like, fine, I will just tune in and see what it's all about. And, you know, you guys are funny all the time, so it got me.
No, we're not.
That's pretty much what he did to me as well.
Yeah.
So he nagged like you to death is what it is.
He pretty much, but it worked. Because there was one weekend I was like, fine, I'll listen to it. But I was going on a trip somewhere, so I just played it in my car, which my girlfriend at the time hated. She hated listening to wrestling stuff, but I was like, I'm driving. It's my radio. I'm going to listen to this.
Okay, this question has been asked to every person that we've done this for. Who is your favorite host or co-host on this show? Like, when you're not on and you're just listening back, who do you...
I was going to say the correct answer is anybody but Vamp.
I would honestly say Wayne because he's the butt.
Pick him up the call now!
Because he's the butt of every
he's
joke.
The butt
that's
every
only
joke,
because it's only because his face is the same level as our asses.
Oh, thank you.
Love you, Wayne.
So he takes so much shit, and he's still on every week.
Dude, Wayne is amazing. Wayne is hands down the hardest working person on the DSJMP panel, because not only does he do every show that is hosted on DSJMP, he actually puts effort into them. We don't.
I won't go that far to say effort.
He has the greatest photo on social media with his little intercontinental belt.
It's not little, it's bigger than me.
We were talking about this on Skype last night, and it's something that I swear to God I'm trying to do. Every time I go to Walmart, I look at the toy belt, and I want to find the Intercontinental one, and I want to take a picture of it exactly like Wayne to make fun of him.
You could think my Damien Mizdow be my stunt double.
So instead of waning, instead of T-Bowing, we're going to start waning on the internet.
We should all do it. Just buy a plastic Intercontinental belt and take a picture exactly like his.
That would be great.
Wow. All right, you said you played the video games, right? What's your favorite all-time wrestling video game?
Right now, it would probably have to be SmackDown vs. Raw 2010. I think that was the last one they did where it actually had a story. I haven't picked up 15 yet, so I can't speak to that one. Like, I like being able to build my character and go up through the ranks and doing all that. The one I played the most was Day of Reckoning 2 on... I think it was GameCube. I played 1 and 2, and those have more memories for me. Because it's like, you start off on Velocity and Heat, and you go up through. On the first one, it's the story arc of you joining Evolution or joining the Ministry, and depending on the show you chose, all the way up until WrestleMania, where the main event event is you versus Triple H or you versus The Undertaker. And that was right. That was the first one. The second one was a spinoff of if you joined Raw. It just shows I think there's a Jericho Triple H moment where it shows Jericho getting pinned but Triple H tapping out at 3. And they played that into the game where they do a tournament, they strip the person, and your character is in the game, in the tournament, and you just have to try to win the World Heavyweight title, and it just shows you getting screwed over every time until you finally get your payoff at WrestleMania to win the belt.
Good memory.
It was
Chevy.
I played
Chevy is going to be so happy.
That game. I played Day of Reckoning 1 and 2 so much because all I had was a GameCube. I had a friend that had a PS2. I'd play SmackDown versus Raw, but that's all I played was GameCube for a long time until I got, I think I had a Wii, and then I upgraded to a 360.
Anybody got any more questions?
What is the best storyline going in wrestling right now?
Right now, I'm looking to where it's going. I like the Miz and Mizdow stuff, mainly because Mizdow is a great wrestler, Miz is a great heel, because honestly I haven't seen anybody that actually likes the Miz, and once Miz turns on Miz, okay, Miz has one fan.
you think he has one fan? I can probably find many more.
I'm furry. It's less than five anyway. I really enjoy that segment because once he finally turns, it's going to be, everybody's going to enjoy it more. He's going to go way over more than what he is now.
Any more?
I like his story.
It's time to get into Wayne's favorite segment. Well, his first one.
Smoke a bong!
Wayne's water cooler. All right, Wayne.
Wayne's water cooler.
It's even more freaky when you do it. I don't like it. Right, first one up. One for Katie. Regarding rumours of AJ Lee leaving WWE soon and a quick loss at Survivor Series, fueling that fire, it looked like those rumours are just rumours and she isn't planning on going anywhere anytime soon.
I think I said that last week.
I still think that she's going to be gone.
You reckon one more pay-per-view and that's it?
As of right now, yeah, because that's what certain things had led up to. That she had scheduled events up until TLC, and then after that there's nothing. Which, it would be funny. It would be so ironic if she leaves WWE after this pay-per-view because CM Punk quit in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. AJ Lee's last event would be in Cleveland. That's why they're married.
It would be romantic in a way.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, it wouldn't.
I could see her walking away, and it wouldn't be forever. It would just be for some time for her to get off the road and be AJ Lee, not the character. So.
AJ Brooks.
Yeah. I'm sorry, not AJ Lee.
April Brooks.
That sounds so horrible.
Sounds like a porn name.
According to PW Insider, Randy Orton was backstage at Survivor Series and was originally booked to return during the main event, but the call was made to go with Sting's big debut instead.
I believe it.
Yeah, I think he probably would have been overshadowed if they would have done both of them.
Mm-hmm. I honestly like the fact that they held him off and just went with one. What I don't understand is if that was the case, why didn't he come back on Raw? Is it because they're holding him off for this movie longer? Like, if they had him back there and they were planning on doing it, why didn't they do it the next night?
I guess he's still filming the movie. I think he's probably still filming the movie. That's the only thing I could think of.
That's what I was thinking.
Unless their people were expecting him to come back, and that's why they held him back. Could have been that they were expecting him to come back at Raw, so they said, "Oh, we'll postpone it a week so he can RKO out of nowhere.
What is the main story arc for next week? I can't remember what
the fucking anonymous GM anonymous. Came back.
Oh, God. That's maybe it is Randy Orton, and he comes out from behind the desk and just...
Oh, shit, Randy Orton cannot send emails that fast.
They have voice recognition software now. Never mind, he doesn't talk fast enough.
Oh, you know what I heard? I heard somebody say, well, the whole reason why the computer went crazy is because it hasn't been updated since 2012.
Maybe that's the one the Edge broke and they tried to fix it and it's still not working.
They sent it to Geek Squad. Right, moving on.
The reason Survivor Series post-show, which was to feature an interview with Vince, didn't air on the network was apparently because the pay-per-view ran long. I didn't think it ran that far over to the point that you cancelled the post-show, but...
Hold on. Do you remember what happened last time a wrestling pay-per-view ran long? Does anybody remember?
No.
Okay. It was when they cut off the Sting versus Hulk Hogan match. At, I can't remember if it was Starrcade or whatever, and the very next night they had to show or have the same match over again because whoever it was beat Hogan for the title. They had to have the same match over again the next night because they ran long and said, oh, well, the cable company's not going to cut us off. No, they cut you off if you go past your time limit. I don't think that it ran long. I think that was how they planned it.
Yeah, but why plug a show on your network and then just go straight back into a repeat of the show you've just shown?
I think they did that with
the show in the shoe.
Wayne is this.
Oh, happy day.
Right, moving on.
WWE will release a Monday Night War DVD next year of the series airing on the WWE Network this year, according to WrestlingDVDNews.com.
Well, if it's coming from that source, it's something I would definitely believe, and it's a great idea. There's a lot of network specials that should be turned into DVDs.
How many discs are in that?
How many specials?
I would figure it'd be no more than three.
I don't even think it'd be three. I think they'd get it on two. It depends on how much extra content they add to it. Because if they start adding extra content. Yeah, if they start adding extra content, they could definitely get three out of it.
What they should do is actually, it should be a special box set with the original DVD of the Monday Night Wars, and then like have these extra discs now to cover those.
And they should actually hold off on the Diamond Dallas Page episode and not air it until they release the DVD. And then that would be a selling point is, hey, you get this final episode with DDP.
Sell it with DDP yoga.
Exactly. I think it's true. Go ahead, next.
Because next year's Royal Rumble event is taking place in Philadelphia, WWE is apparently considering bringing in a couple of original ECW names as a surprise entrance to the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, you didn't even mess up and you messed yourself up.
Tommy Dreamer's coming back with new tights and a Twitter handle on the side of him.
With the picture of the Twitter bird. Don't forget
exactly.
That.
Okay, all right, let's see. Who would they bring back? Team 3D, possibility. They could have Dudley's come back.
RVD will have to be RVD. There, won't he?
Yeah, RVD. Outside of that, who else?
Half of them are in TNA.
Well, if the rumors of revamping everything comes about, and say they take Taz off and put Josh Matthews in his place, Taz could be a potential one, but I don't...
You don't think that's going to be TNA come off? That would be Taz.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is potential for Taz to not be working there. But Taz is at a point to where he's so blubbery, he can't work.
Blubbery? Like, that's something I'd say.
No, he looks like an elephant seal. It's bad. It's real bad. And I'm only saying this because he pissed me off on Twitter. I asked him the name of a wrestling move, and he gave me shit telling me that I wasn't a commentator. And all I was looking for was a clarification as to what Mike Tenay said the wrestling move was. apparently he thought I was trying to take his job. But you've never been a commentator, and I'm not trying to be. I just want clarification.
Oh my god, you even argue with TNA wrestlers and staff.
Hey, I argue with people like Taz. I don't argue with TNA wrestlers.
People like Taz.
He's arguing with your kind, Wayne, short people.
Yeah, you're shortest. You're such a shortest.
Right, right. Anybody? Can anybody name another person from ECW that you bring back besides the Dudleys and Rob Van Dam? Jericho?
Yeah, I don't think Jericho counts.
I don't either.
Heyman should be a surprise entrant.
What about Raven?
That would be a good one.
Yeah, that would that'd be a random one.
Yeah, that would be shocking.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the emails now.
Emails. Here we go.
Right, what's going on?
Why don't you do Andy first?
Hit Cat. What? You're as bad as Vam.
Just start with. Fuck him. Start with Cat.
Everyone, I'm sure there's like a camera on me, and whatever one I push first, they're like, let's go with this one. Right, we're going with Cat. Because he says, hey, yo. So for this week in pro wrestling history, I present you with the following. So far, so good. November 24th, 1983. WCCW held Thanksgiving Star Wars in Dallas, Texas. In the main event, Kerry Von Erich defeated Michael P.S. Hayes in a loser leave town steel cage match.
How you doing?
November 24th, 93, WWF held Survivor Series in Boston, Massachusetts. In the main event, the All-Americans Lex Luger and The Undertaker, Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner defeated the Foreign Fanatics, Yokozuna, Crush, Ludwig Borger, and Kubeka Jax in the traditional Survivor Series match.
The Quebecers, you mean?
No, Jax. How you doing?
November 26, 2000, WCW held its very last pay-per-view event, Mayhem, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In the show's main event, Scott Steiner defeated Booker T in a straitjacket steel cage match to capture the WCW Championship.
How you doing?
Oh, here we go. November 27th, 1950. Is there really any need to go back that far? Japanese legend Hiroki Grant Hamada was born in Maebashi, Gunma, Japan.
How are you doing?
November 27th, 1986. Great year, that is. NWA held Starrcade, Night of the Skywalkers.
Yes!
Live from both Greensboro, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. In the show's main event, the Road Warriors defeated the Midnight Express in a Skywalkers scaffold match.
How you doing?
I take it you liked that one, did you?
Fuck yeah, I've got that on VHS.
Got that on VHS.
One of my all-time favorites because me and my grandfather used to watch that one a lot. It was awesome.
November 30th, 1964. Oh, God. Yushin Thunderliga was born...
one more time.
Liger? I don't know.
Liger.
Liger.
Kind of like Thunder Underbolt Dynamite.
I can never get it when they done on there, but...
Yushin Thunder Liger.
I think that's the way it should have been pronounced, but I think everyone else got it wrong. Was born Kishi Yamada in Hiroshima, Japan. Kata out.
How you doing? That email was like Babe Ruth. It was the Sultan of SWAT. SWAT?
Right. Let's go to Andy Anderson. He's, you know. Yeah.
Okay, they're legally. Let's go.
I can handle these. Hi, boys and Katie.
Hi, Andy.
There we go. He actually puts that in there
howdy,
every week now.
Howdy, duty.
Yeah. Life can suck. I got my car stolen, yes. Oh, shit, I didn't. Right, I'm not. I shouldn't really say that in a. Right. Well, that's brought us down, innit? Oh, luckily, like, yesterday. Thankfully, the police found it today. but it cost me $200 to get it from the impound. Well, that shit again.
Dude, you know how many months of the WWE Network that is?
That's all right, if every month was November, so...
Or you have a VPN.
But even when sucky things happen, I can still be thankful. So since this is the week of Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for this podcast and other podcasts from the All Wrestling Week in Review family. See, I can actually get it right, Vamp. This show allows
How you doing?
This show allows me to listen to friendly people talk about things I like and help me take my mind off at the everyday troubles and tribulation of life.
And now
the tribulation.
Say it slow.
I'm also thankful for getting something different and some surprises at Survivor Series. Everyone and their mother was saying either Cena or Ryback was going to be the sole survivor, and we'd get Randy Orton come in and make it able for Team Cena to win. But we got something totally different. A totally new sole survivor in Dolph Ziggler, bar Big Show, and a Sting debut. I could hear Heavyset and Wayne the Baker marking out from my living room. That'd be a bit weird, but fair enough.
That was marking out. That was ejaculation.
That was, yeah. Also, on a separate note, do you see the stuff that is happening in Ferguson again? Postpone the New Day faction. Sorry for the long email. That weren't long. That was a good, insightful email, Andy. Double A with my emailed thought this week, and that has been my nickel.
Ching-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
That's a little bell.
Where do we start there?
I want to start with the New Day Ferguson.
I think now they've given a date. Well, it's too late. Katie says they're filmed it for SmackDown, so
yeah,
it's happening.
I think that they'll hold off on a heel turn until after the Ferguson stuff calms down. I don't think that'll be an automatic debut turn into the Pope D'Angelo Williams and or De Niro and then go off. I think they'll come out, be cute and cuddly for a couple of weeks or a month, and then they'll make that snap.
You can't see Vince going full out cock mode then and turning them heel and bringing the Ferguson stuff into it, because he has been known to go very edgy.
He's also been known to suspend Chris Jericho for kicking a flag and then send out a retracting statement to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he's not going to go cock out.
No.
I pretty much just echoed some of DRG's segments. I mean,
oh my god!
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, we should probably thank Andy for the kind words for the show. That's something that Devil Vamp would probably do.
Yeah, and also he did bring up the point of was Survivor Series a shock?
It was.
He obviously was happy with it. He thought that was a shock, but I'd sort of been going around that day.
I know for me, the Sting stuff leaked, but I agree with what EC3 said in my conversation with him. I'm sorry, let me pick up that name.
Oh, my God, here we go. There's the story again. Come on, Heavy.
No, I don't have to tell
the journey.
Well, no, it's one of those things. It's like, actually, you can hear a spoiler on something, but it's like, so-and-so's coming back at this pay-per-view. When? Like you don't know where. You know what I'm saying?
No, you kind of knew with that one.
Well...
Did you think Sting was going to show up as the mystery opponent to Fandango, really?
No, I thought he was going to come out in the Divas Survivor Series match and help Natty win. I was deadly disappointed.
That would have been my markout moment.
No, I expected him to come out in the main event. I mean, that was the perfect time for him to bring him out.
But at the same time, he didn't have to appear in the main event. It could have been after as the show was like winding down. Match could have been over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, if you spoiled it and it took anything away, that's on you. I didn't get that spoiler because I was too busy at work at the time. So I didn't catch the spoiler that Sting was going to be there. Now we had talked about it and I figured it, but it was still awesome.
Yeah, I caught Survivor Series a little late. So I knew Sting was there, but I still watched because I wanted to see it myself. So even though it was leaked, or even though I had already known that it was happening, it still, when he walked out there, it's still, I'm marked out for that one too, because being a fan of Sting and TNA, now he's in WWE, where he's never been, and he finally gets this opportunity to maybe main event WrestleMania.
I think I was the same
one of the four.
I was the same one with Brock Lesnar. I knew he had signed a deal the weekend of WrestleMania that year. I thought he was actually going to come out at WrestleMania. He didn't. I was kind of upset. But I'm like, all right, he's got to come out at Raw. He has to come out. And at that last minute, I mean, it's like this has to be it, but they dragged it. They dragged it. And then his music hit, and I marked out that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's still it's going to be one of the most memorable moments in history that we've had in a while. And it also gives me a chance to sit there and laugh at Bully Dave for predicting that Cena would turn heel. So that made me happy.
Everybody fucking predicts that, but yeah, that's... Right, moving on. Let's get into best of the week, and I'm going to mention my best of the week really quick, and that is the fact that the independent wrestler known as Crazy Mary Dobson has been on Raw more times in the past couple of months than Brock Lesnar. For those who don't know, she was the Miz's makeup artist so many months back. She was a rosebud on Survivor Series, and she was the woman in charge of Kane at the concession stand. So kudos to Crazy Mary Dobson. Yeah, chips, whatever. You are chips. Wayne, what is your best of the week? Besides,
M&M's, I'm sorry.
Okay, the rapper.
Eating M&M?
Or...
We have had the word M&M said way too many times on the podcast.
My best of the week had to be Sting, Daniel Bryan, but no. I'll probably have to go Triple H's face when Sting come out. That "What the f- are you doing here?" face was absolutely amazing. And Steph at the end of the match, when she come to and realised that they'd lost the power, and she started just throwing a massive hissy and rolling around in the ring. Typical McMahon actions, and that's just brilliant.
On a side note, you guys should have heard Wayne last night when Paige was on the second screen.
Yeah, because no one was following her. So I was just quietly mind my own business watching it, forgot that I didn't mute, and just screamed. Oh my god, she's on the second screen!
Devil needs to release that audio. Just that part of it. That'll be fine. All right, Katie, what was your best of the week?
I'll say Sting. It's good to see him finally make his debut. It was long overdue, in my opinion. It should have happened at least 10 years earlier, but the point is he's finally here, and honorable mention goes to Daniel Bryan on Raw.
So pretty much what Wayne almost said, too.
Yeah, I stole his answer just like I steal him in trivia.
Yeah, except,
and keep tossing and proof.
Yeah, except for the part where he went all giddy about Paige beyond second screen. She didn't steal that part.
Well, no.
Yeah, that's true. DRG, what is your rest of the week?
I want to go last. Let Hazard go first.
Biohazard, what is your best of the week?
I really enjoyed the Ambrose Wyatt match, and even the story progression of putting Wyatt through the table and dumping all the chairs on him. So we know they're going to have a match that's going to keep me tuning in every week.
That was really well done, I have to say. I liked it at the pay-per-view and at Raw. Those are two of the highlights of both events.
Yeah, the fact that when he had the chair, you thought it was going to be another John Cena moment. Oh, he's not going to hit him. He's going to try to win the match. And then he actually hit him, and it was like, now that plays off to Dean as crazy, and, you know, that made it more enjoyable.
Anti-hero.
Yeah.
All right, DRG, now what is your best of the week?
Best of the week, since it was announced on Wednesday, which technically the podcast was recorded on Tuesday, TNA has a TV deal. And they are moving to Destination America, a channel that is willing for them to come in and be a cornerstone foundation for them moving forward. They have a lot of potential with what they could do with this. And for all the people that have been worrying and talking and fretting and, oh, is TNA going to be around? Oh, no, they're dead in the water. Give it time, because this TV deal could be that fresh new take that could completely revive that promotion. So that has to be my best of the week.
I think going off of that, when Viacom owned Spike, correct?
Mm-hmm. Viacom did own Spike.
And they never promoted TNA outside of Spike TV, and even then it was rare. I think with them being on the new station, they're going to, at least they might promote them on different channels, say, hey, this is our new wrestling promotion that, you know, we're airing now. Come watch it on the next channel or something like that.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, which is going to give them more exposure.
What's cool is that, I don't know if you caught this, but EY announced that he's going to have another television show on the Science Channel. And if I'm correct, I believe that's also under Discovery Communications banner.
Mm-hmm.
They've announced in the press release that they are bringing in not just the Impact main show, but that they're building towards new series and new special events, which means that instead of having to wait, you know, 3 months for a pay-per-view, they could do these Hardcore Justice television specials and perhaps do it on a different night. They have the ability to work more within the boundaries and expand because they're not hindered by what are the ratings. And that's just everything that you got coming out of Spike TV is, oh, it's a national channel. We got to check the ratings on this. They have more flexibility. And it, if they needed a lifeline, yes, it's a smaller channel, but this is probably one of the better lifelines that they could have ended up with.
I agree there.
And I'm going to say that's pretty much going to do it for this week on the DSJMP WrestleCast, episode 41. Wayne, where can we find you?
Sorry, still on hand.
That really ruined it, because I was going to say, you forgot your nuts, stupid, but never mind.
No, they were in your mouth.
Oh! Oh! How you doing?
You dumb mook.
Brilliant. Right, you can find me on Twitter on @WaynesAbaker and @SecondShiftPod with the Second Shift Podcast. And if you hear this in time, say Wednesday morning, if this gets uploaded, which it probably won't be, because Devil's not going to be uploading it, so this ain't fair. If you want on Second Shift, K-fabe just sports. Let me know, because I'm quite sports. Desperate for people.
K-fabe sports.
Well done.
It's not like he doesn't upload there, because I do.
Yeah. So if you want on Second Shift, let me know.
Cata.
Right, moving on. Katie, where can we find you?
Follow me at Katie First Lady, and I just want to wish all you a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, sorry to all the international listeners out there. Sorry to all the international listeners out there. We celebrate Thanksgiving, and all you Canadian listeners, this is the real Thanksgiving.
How dare you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Calm down, Wayne. Calm down, Doughboy.
The page is on the second screen.
Good grief.
Right, moving on. 2 minutes.
DRG, where can we find you?
You can find me at MRDRG_WIR. Katie said it. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. But I know Vamp doesn't like to get all religious on this, but thoughts and prayers are going to every person in Ferguson, because what's going on there right now is very sad to watch as a society. So, yes, my thoughts and my prayers are going out to those people.
Right, moving on. Biohazard, what are you? where can we find you?
On Twitter at the Biohazard King. THEBOHZRDKING.
And of course, I am Heavy Set. You can find me at HeavySet330, at NFL Easy Picks, at KFave Sports, at Ohio Report,
at your local fast food store.
You can find Wayne at your local grocery store looking for Miracle-Gro. Because, you know, he's so short.
You have to explain the joke. It's not as funny as you think it is.
I was explaining because you know how dumb Wayne is.
Oh,
right, chirp, moving on.
Chirp, 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 chirp. Okay, Kai. Chirp, chirp.
I loved it. You guys, I'm so happy to be back. I missed you guys last week. Y'all are so much fun.
You're not getting those sentiments back.
All right, and to wrap this up, we will catch you guys next week.